Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
One of the things that I wanted to think about in this particular Sabbath is about where we're at in time. Now, you remember that last Sabbath, Norman talked about the long journey, if you remember his story. And this long journey was going where? Going home. And where is home? Heaven is. Do you really feel that way, that heaven is your home? This week we're going to look at that journey. And I'm going to really be looking at how to believe. And you will notice that the watchfulness is part of it, worshiping God is part of it. There's a whole bunch of things as we go along in this journey of life. And the question is, am I a pilgrim or is this my home? A pilgrim is one who journeys to a foreign land or a foreign country. Now, as you and I as a Christians take a look at the foreign land, this earth is a foreign land, really, for we're looking forward to the heaven. In fact, you will find in the story, which is the base of this sermon, is in 444, and we'll be singing that at the end, and also in the 445, I am but a stranger here. The early Adventists look forward to seeing and being with Jesus Christ. Do you look forward to being with Jesus Christ? No matter what age you are you looking forward to that time? And in fact, Donna wrote this in I'm a Pilgrim. She said this, "There is a city to which I journey. My Redeemer is the light." Jesus is the light in the New Jerusalem. Thomas Tyler wrote this, "There is at my Savior's side, heaven is my home." He wants to be at his Savior's side. Brothers and sisters, is your faith strong? Does your faith get stronger every day? Are you determined? Are you strong enough? Do you feel the pull of a gracious Heavenly Father and a loving Jesus Christ? If the earth is your permanent home, then you're not a pilgrim. Let us pilgrim together, however. Are you a believer without seeing? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, truly we are pilgrims. We're looking forward to that home, which is not only in heaven, but also on the earth made new, where Jesus Christ will be the light of an entire city. But also Jesus Christ is the light in our hearts. We pray for your Spirit to be within us as we worship you this morning. In his name we ask it. Amen. Take a look in your Bibles to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Many of you really know this one. Paul is writing to the Hebrews about the faith of their forefathers. And right in the middle of this, here he is, he's going through the forefathers, he's telling the Hebrews about the faith that they had, and he starts with the, as the earth was created, all the way through to the present day of all the people who had such great faith. And of course, there was a whole bunch of them that were listed. But he makes this statement in verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him, For whenever you draw near to God, you must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. We need to believe that He exists. Also, there's another belief that we need to have. It's really a promise, and that is found in Acts, the first chapter, verses 10 and 11. What is that about? Anybody awake? What's it about? It's one we hear over and over again. Norman mentioned it. I've mentioned it on other sermons. What is the topic? Yes, Jesus coming again. You remember the disciples are standing there and they're looking up and they're seeing Jesus going up into heaven. And you remember that the two angels come up beside them and say, you know, why you keep looking up there? And then the wonderful promise comes, and that is that God, that Christ will be with us. He will come again. What a wonderful promise that is. Are you a pilgrim? Do you believe, even though you have not seen? There's a story that is told, and this story is about Frederick II. And he was marching along with his troops. Well, he wasn't really marching. He was on the horse. But anyway, along beside him was the highest general, and that is Shumitra. And the king was sort of jesting about the general's faith. And when the general had a chance to reply, this is what the general said. Listen carefully. Your Majesty is far more witty than I am, and you are more learned than I am. Not only so, but you are my king. And in a decided advantage you have over me. I feel I'm at a great disadvantage. However, the general continued, and this is what he says. I wonder if we could say the same thing. You cannot rob me of my faith without doing yourself injury. That's sort of a strange way to put it. How is that? The king asked. How can I do myself an injury by robbing you of your faith? The general replied, Your Majesty now believes that you have a good officer in me, and I hope you are not mistaken. However, if you should take my faith away, you will have a miserable servant, a reed shaken by the wind, in whom you couldn't repose the slightest confidence. Essentially, the general would be destroyed without faith. What about you? What about me? The king was silent for a moment, and then says, Tell me, what is your faith? Listen to the reply. Then the great general had the opportunity to reply, and this is what he said. I believe in the divine redemption from all my past sins. Do you? I pray that you do. I believe in the divine foresight by which the very hairs of my head are numbered. That close relationship with his Father, so close that God knows how many hairs are on a person's head. I believe in an eternal and a gracious life after death for all those who are saved by the blood of Christ. Do you also believe that? Saved by the blood of Christ? The king was silent for a moment, and then he asked, Do you really believe this from the bottom of your heart? Do you believe? Most certainly I do, was the general's reply. Your Majesty, I love my Savior. With then the king grasped the general's hand and said, "You are indeed a happy man." Are you happy today? I pray that you are. Not only is it impossible to please God if we have no faith, it is impossible to be happy in this world. Also, we shall not receive answers to prayer unless we have faith. And I'm sort of going to expand on that a little bit. The next question that naturally presents itself is, how do we get faith? How do we believe? If you would turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul has an answer in verse 17. Why don't you just turn there? Just take a look at what he has to say. Romans 10, verse 17. Give me the answer that Paul gives. So faith comes by what? Hearing. And what about hearing? By the word of God. Do we hear? Do we hear the word of God? We need to hear the word of God from several areas. One of them is from the pulpit, and that's what we're doing today. But there's some other things which I'd like to put down here, and that is from the experiences of our friends and of our neighbors. You and I need to witness to each other, to encourage each other. And there are some people sitting right here today that are carrying some very, very, very heavy burdens. Do you know who they are? Are you there to help? As a brother and sister, I pray that we are. We need to read and know God as a personal friend and as a Savior. Well, in Luke chapter 24, verse 45, it brings out this particular point. And that is that we need understanding. Now, here you have a situation. This is at the end. Christ has been resurrected. And you will find that at this particular point, he is talking to the disciples. And the disciples' emotions, you remember, have gone up and down as this experience takes place. Well, Christ makes the... let me put it this way. Luke makes the statement that understanding came to his disciples. They were finally getting a glimpse of what this was all about. Christ told them that these things had to be fulfilled. He had to go through these events, which they didn't understand even after the events were taking place. Finally, it's starting to dawn on them, and so understanding is gradually coming into their minds. A second thing which is needed, and that is they needed knowledge. And Paul refers to that in Romans 10, 14, and also in 17. They need knowledge. And he's talking to the Romans, that the Romans needed knowledge to really have that faith, that trust in a Savior. And that's what Paul was there for. Third, they needed confidence. 1 John 5:14 and 15 both refer to the confidence that is needed. Do we have confidence in God? So much confidence through faith in him that we can trust anything he says, anything he does, any event that comes upon us, any hardship that we go through, that we can say, "My God loves me." Does your God love you? Amen. That's right. HMS Richards makes this statement, and I thought it was sort of interesting. And this is taken from a sermon entitled, "How to Believe." And he makes this statement: "Knowledge is essential to faith. None of us can believe in something that we are entirely ignorant of." How do we avoid ignorance of God? The Scriptures. We have to study. And we will also experience. Confidence in what we read in the Bible is necessary to have intelligent faith. Unless we have confidence in the person giving us the information, we cannot believe what he says. As you and I travel the pilgrim way, do not be afraid to ask of God the things that we need. We need what? Spiritual blessings? Yes, I need that. And so do you. Do we need forgiveness for sins? We sure do. At least I pray that I do. And the other thing which is so important to us, and that is to have that assurance. And I've had many, many discussions on this particular point, and that is the assurance. Through faith, we have the assurance of eternal life. It's a gift that we have received. You have it. Don't doubt it. Don't question it. You have it. Claim it. Make it part of your being. Leave all your doubts at the footsteps and walk over the top of them as we take that pilgrimage to that earth made new. The story is told, I like this story. You can sort of picture this. Most of us have heard this story about Alexander the Great. Now, here's a man that is just, he's at this particular point in his career, he's conquered most of the world. And a person comes to him. It doesn't say who this person was, but anyway, somebody Alexander knew quite well. And he asked for some money as a marriage portion for his daughter. Alexander told him, "Go to the treasurer and ask what you want." So off to the treasurer he goes. He went and he demanded an enormous amount of money. And B, you can appreciate this. The treasurer was startled and came to Alexander and said that he thought that a small part of what the man had asked for would be enough. Alexander responded this way. He says, "No," said Alexander. "Let him have it. I like that man. He does me honor. He treats me like a king and proves by what he asks that he believes me to be both rich and to be generous." And I thought about this a little bit when I read it. And that is, do we honor God? Or by having great faith, honor God by asking great things? Or do we have small faith and ask for little things? What I'd like you to do now, if you would, and I'd like you to read along with me, and that is 468. It's a song you all know very well. But songs are a way in which we remember things. And this is one of the things I have done, and that I'm using quite a few songs so that you will remember some of the things here. And this is written, and it's under the section on joy and peace. But why don't we all read this together and see if we can keep our harmony going a little bit. I'm not singing it because I'm not a good song leader from that point of view. But I want you to take a look at the words. And let's start with me and let's all read together if you would please. "My father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of all silver and gold, His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus as Savior, I'm a child of the King. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth with the poorest of them. But now he is pleading for sinners on high, and will have a home when he comes by and by. Go back to 3, please. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe, a crown, a tent or a cottage. Oh, why could I tear by building a terrace for me over there? Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Are you a child of the King? I pray that you are. God owns everything. Don't ask small things. Honor God by asking great things. We must remember that there is a great sin in doubting or disbelieving God or His words. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 5:10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of God has given of his Son. Do we judge God? When we refuse to believe what God has revealed in his words, we virtually set ourselves up as judges. We decide in our own minds what God has said to be true. We also set in our minds what we don't think is true. We set ourselves up above God and we judge Him. H.M.S. Richards makes this statement: this is the great sin that besets many today. Do not let doubt lay at your door. Do not let doubt lay at your door. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews. And I need you to follow along on this, because I'll be reading this from a little bit different version. Take a look, please, at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to use the paraphrased Living Bible, and so I would like to make sure that you read it from the other. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4. This is a challenge for all of us. Since we have such a huge crowd of men watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off everything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Notice, watch out for those sins that trip us up. Your pet sins. The ones you don't want to give up. Give them up. Get rid of them so you can run the race that God has put before you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because the joy he knew would be his afterwards. Died on the cross, but because of his death, he would have joy afterwards. And now he sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. Verse 3. If you want to keep from becoming faint-hearted and weary, think about his patience as sinful man did such a terrible things to him. Verse 4. After all, you have never yet struggled against sin and temptation until you sweat great drops of blood. Have we ever struggled that hard against sin? Paul is coming to the conclusion that great men of faith, if you remember in the chapter 10, he goes through this whole list of great men of faith. And Paul comes to the conclusion that, well, I'm doing a great job on this. Anyway, I'll read it just like I have it. I'm sorry. Paul is coming to the conclusion, after listening to the great men of faith, that we should shed anything, that we should shed anything that will hinder us from achieving the goal. A heavenly home is truly our heavenly home. The pilgrim journey may seem long to some and short to others, but we cannot tarry, Diana wrote. Here in this country, so dark and drear, I long have wandered, forlorn and weary. Taylor writes this, short is my pilgrim, heaven's my home. Both are right. It seems long today as you and I go through the pilgrim walk, but compared to eternity, it is but a moment. But a moment. It seems long, folks, but it's but a moment compared to eternity. And so in the words of the old son, God's son, faith is the victory that overcomes. Well, okay, there's a thing that Dwight L. Moody said, and I thought this was a good one. A little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Listen to the way he words this. A little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul. But a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul. I asked the question as we started this journey. Are you a pilgrim on a journey to your heavenly home, looking forward to the place of heavenly rest, near to the heart of God?
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.